recorded
Who is
live.
It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Dave, man, open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave, come on, man, open up. I think the cops
Dave's
coming.
Not here.
The views and opinions expressed on iLibertarian are not necessarily the views of TalkShoe, LiveFree.fm, Define For You Media, The King for Mayor, iLibertarian, or their sponsors. This show is not endorsed by the Libertarian Political Party.
Everybody, thank you for listening to iLibertarian. It is October 6, 2011. I'm your host, The King for Mayor. We got off to a little bit of a late start tonight, and we're probably going to have a short show, although it'll end at our normal time of 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Our guest tonight is the very patient Clinton Richardson from We Are Change Utah and maker of the Corporation Nation film series. You can find out all of his, watch all of his films at thecorporationnation.com. And he has just released a new film called Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination. Hello, Clint. Can you hear me?
Hey, my friend, how are you?
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad. I'm a lot better now that all of a sudden everything magically started working again.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was freaking out pretty bad there for a little bit, pulling my hair out, trying to figure out what was wrong. and it fixed itself, whatever it was. So I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show tonight. You're definitely one of you're a fan favorite and one favorite of mine as well as far as guests go. I got the opportunity to watch your new movie today, and before we talk about that, because I know you've got a wealth of information you're going to lay down on us. Before we get into that, I was hoping I could find out what your take is on this Occupation Wall Street thing that's going on right now.
Well, to be perfectly frank, it's just the Tea Party 2. It's a bunch of very well-intentioned people that I highly respect for getting out there and doing what they're doing, but unfortunately the majority of our movement, whether you call it the truth movement or the patriot movement or whatever you call it, for the majority of everything that we do, unfortunately it's based on fallacies, and fallacies are a very important tool that are used against us on a constant basis, both in the mainstream media and in the alternative media. Just to give you a few examples, we could take such things as gold, for instance, the thought that gold has more value than other things. And, of course, that's a fallacy only in the fact that, for instance, a Star Wars figure, say I had an original Darth Vader with a little movable lightsaber and it was in the original box completely untouched, it would actually probably be worth more than gold. And yet it's a 2-cent plastic toy made from Hasbro. And yet the intrinsic sort of artificial scarcity or scarcity of the value of the object is what gives it value. So the fallacy when it comes to gold, for instance, or currency, gold is actually has and always will have a set price by law. That price is listed in the both the Treasury Comprehensive Annual Financial Report and the Federal Reserve Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is the audit of the Fed, by the way. And that price is $42.29. It will not change unless they change it. And so the fallacy, basically, that gold is worth any more than $42.29, that is a market price. Just like the Darth Vader or a rookie Reggie Jackson card is going to be worth a whole lot of money on the market price, the actual value of that thing is really just what its actual intrinsic or real value is. And gold can be used in machinery. Gold is used for machinery, and it is used in jewelry.
You're saying that you know, changing over to a gold standard is going to solve nothing, basically?
Well, I'm saying that there's a bunch of people. Well, yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as sound money, because all we have to really do to understand the concept of what money is used for is, I mean, besides your barter and your trade, obviously, the only reason that there are wealthy people in the world and indeed in this country are because we, you and me, my friend, as we were talking about before we went live, we're both poor. And the reason we're poor is because we are forced to use, by law, the same currency that the wealthy use. Now, if suddenly we decided that we wanted to use a different currency or barter or use seashells or scratches and sticks, all of a sudden George Soros and whoever else you can think of that are these multi-billionaires would have $1 billion that are worth absolutely nothing, because no one would accept their money. You see, money is supposed to be based on reputation. Now, if the dollar, for instance, was based on reputation, our dollar would essentially go to hell really quick, because the reputation of America is not a good one. You know, we abuse the fact that our money is so valuable, so that our money has bought so many things. And that's another fallacy, unfortunately, is that our money is actually a worthless piece of paper that is not backed by anything. Well, actually, that's not true, and it's the subject of one of my future documentaries. The money that we use is actually backed by you and me and our property. And this is very important to understand, because when you say that the economy is going to crash in America, or the dollar, per se, is going to crash in America, that would mean that the people and every corporation and all the land would suddenly become worthless. And that's a pretty great fallacy if you think about it, because the concept that they can just print as much money as they want, well, yes, but it's all backed by us, you see. And this is actually the law. I know I have that written on my blog somewhere, the quotes from the specific you know, acts and laws, U.S. codes that actually state this. So basically what I'm saying is everything that everybody is doing right now is based on a fallacy. For instance, that the concept of occupying Wall Street, and then I'll shut up, you're occupying first of all, you're occupying a street. You're not occupying anything of significant value. Because Wall Street is still running. As if you're not there, you're kind of like a mosquito. And I'm not being offensive or rude, I'm just telling it like it is. Second of all, Wall Street is actually a private corporation. The New York Stock Exchange is a private corporation. NASDAQ, private corporation that is listed as a stock that is owned by government in their financial reports. So, again, you know, we could go over so many fallacies. The fallacy that the Constitution gives you rights. Well, yeah, the Constitution does list rights, but then it also lists, every time it lists a right, it lists how that right can be taken away. If you read your Constitution, you're going to find that anything government does is in fact constitutional, because we are led to believe that our Constitution actually gives us some kind of rights. But again, it takes all those rights away, and it says so right in the Constitution. All you got to do is read it. But nobody actually reads it without rose-colored glasses. So everything that's going on this Occupy Wall Street, well-intentioned people, and I give them credit for getting out there, but, you know, honestly, If you want to go protest, go to your state treasurer's office and ask them why, for instance, in California, there's a $64 billion fund that all the cities, counties, and special districts, over 2,400 of them, contribute to, and then the government loans that money back to banks, and then the banks loan taxpayer money to people. So they collect your taxpayer money, they give that money to banks, and then the banks loan it to the people. Okay, that's the true system of government. And of course, if you've watched any of my video, you'll see that government owns those banks, and they're not state banks, they're national banks. So we're in a vicious circle that we've basically created for ourselves, and most of the information that we have, including the information we have on the Federal Reserve, is based on complete fallacies, unfortunately. So that's what I think of Occupy Wall Street. I respect the idea, however, I'm afraid that it's going to be co-opted just like every other, or started out as a co-opted movement in the first place, and will basically turn into if I were to predict what was going to happen with it, it'll turn into a bunch of people wearing InfoWars T-shirts and passing out Alex Jones DVDs, just like every other cause or group that's been started. It gets taken over by the main alternative money-making machine, which is InfoWars. So there you go.
All right. Well, that's good to know. So if all these protests are futile, and we have all these fallacies that we're constantly dealing with, and then what would you say is a better alternative to finding a solution?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that there is no legal recourse, and I cover that in this most recent documentary. There is no legal recourse for just about anything that government does, because government, you see, writes its own laws. You have all kinds of U.S. code out there that shows that everything from terrorism, which I cover in the documentary, to chemtrails or geoengineering, to financial terrorism, to dropping bombs and irradiating people, this is all perfectly legal according to U.S. code. And I spent a great deal of time explaining that and going over some of that code in this Lethal Injection movie, because you have to understand that these injections are very much an experimental thing, and they fall under Title 50 of the U.S. Code. I believe it's Title 50, which is the Chapter 32, the Biological Weapons Program, for which they say they can do anything they want to not only humans, but to animals, plants, insects, the environment. They can alter it any way they want to. So basically everything is legal. So if you're going to go stand on Wall Street and you're going to say, we need to get these people in trouble for doing these horrible things with our money, well, guess what? Nothing they're doing is illegal, you see, because government, first of all we have to really understand is that government owns the corporations, including the banks, okay, through stock investment, and I cover that in depth in my other documentary, which is the Great Pension Fund Hoax. I show these reports. I show that just in one pension fund, they had over $1 billion of stock in Citibank, okay? So what we find is that we have a massive conflict of interest going on with government, because as the collective stock owners of these corporations, which we are protesting, they are not only regulating the industry and passing laws in which these corporations operate in, but they own the corporations and are using that ownership to proxy control, to micromanage these corporations, because they're the major shareholders, and the major shareholders get the votes. So, you know, when we take the financial collapse, for instance, of 2007, 2008, we find that all of those banks involved, from J.P. Morgan Chase to Bank of America, taking over Merrill Lynch, those companies were already owned by government collectively through stock investment. So I guess what I'm trying to say, when you ask for solutions to the problem, I'm saying there are no solutions as far as working within this system, because the system makes its own rules. So basically what we're asking ourselves to do is to operate within a completely lawless system. At least it's lawless for them, because every law that they create for us, they then exempt themselves from that law under U.S. code and even under the Constitution. Again, you have to reread the Constitution. So is there a legal recourse for vaccines causing cancer? Is there a legal recourse for geoengineering and deleteriously altering our environment? No, there is not, because the U.S. code prevents the people from doing anything about it, because it exempts government from any recourse by the people. And so the short answer is an unfortunate realization that I've come to, and that is that we do not have a solution other than to unincorporate our government, get rid of the law, start over with basically God's law, which states that you shall not harm another person or their property, and go from there and get rid of all the victimless crime law, get rid of all the code and crazy stuff that we have, and start fresh. It's going to hurt a little bit, and it's going to be a difficult thing. But you see, as soon as the people take over their government, because government owns those corporations, they're also taking over the majority stock ownership in those corporations. You put someone like, well, I'll say it, I'm running for president. You put someone like me up there in president, I'll suddenly be the CEO of the corporation for which I will get rid of, and I'll have controlling interest through the people of all of these corporations. So Walmart, hey, guess what? You're gonna have to go away. We're gonna change your whole structure and make you into something completely different. So that's what I'm saying. We're at a point now where the people have no legal recourse, because as I cover in this documentary, going straight through U.S. code, reading it directly from the Cornell Law University website, we have no legal recourse. That's what I'm trying to say. So protesting is one thing, but actually inducing a change or a revolution is an entirely different subject. So, you know, occupy all you want. I just find it disagrees with me that people don't understand, not only that people don't understand what I'm saying right now, because it does sound a little crazy until you actually see the evidence, which is why I make these four-hour documentaries going through all these reports so that there's primary evidence for people to see. But you see, what my problem is, and why I don't go on a lot of mainstream or even mainstream alternative shows, is because people like G. Edward Griffin and Ron Paul and all these authors and people who are making so much money off talking about the stock market, talking about what the Federal Reserve is, saying this, saying that, would all have to retract everything they've written. They'd have to retract their their writings, their they'd have to come to a mind-altering, life-altering conclusion that everything they've done is patently false and based on these fallacies which we're talking about. The biggest fallacy is that there's an evil corporate structure that controls government, but in fact, government controls through stock investment and proxy voting the evil corporate structure, and so that's where we're at.
So is unincorporating America going to be one of your future documentaries here?
Well, the incorporation of America is very much a part of it, mostly from about 1933, 1930 on, when President Roosevelt put us in a state of emergency, which has lasted until this day. And if you read the Constitution, you'll find that the Constitution is, in fact, and the Congress is, in fact, suspended when that happens. And you'll also find in all of the law that is written that one of the ones, the code that I was reading in the documentary, all of that can be suspended under a presidentially declared emergency. Not a declaration of war, although that's another option, but under a declared state of emergency, the president becomes king. Really, the Congress becomes null and void, and I think we can all agree that Congress is very much a null and void a group of people who are signing things left and right without reading them, that's because they don't really have a choice. They're paid very well and get a very good pension to do exactly what they're told. Of course, there's always a few stragglers, but we can't fool ourselves into thinking that we actually have representatives of the people. They are. I was talking to a lady in Ohio who interviewed a few of them, of the Congress people, and they said that when they were hired by the United States, they were told they're working for a corporation and not as a representative of the people. It's that simple. So, like I said, it's not a matter of holding up a sign. The problem is we're holding up the wrong sign because we're blaming corporations, which is exactly what they want us to do. Because as long as you're looking at the corporations, which are the left hand, the right hand, which is government, is going to keep pulling money out of your back pocket, taking your wallet, taking everything you own, and you're going to always be concentrated on the corporations which the government owns and is controlling. Like puppets on a string. So don't ever think that a bank is rogue. Don't ever think that a bank can do anything it wants, because basically everything it does is legal. That's what we're saying.
So let's go ahead and talk about your new film now, which I watched today, and I was pretty impressed with it. Had a lot of information in there. Because I've been hearing about, how terrible vaccines are here for a while, but I think your film really puts it all together into a very comprehensive package. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it and why you decided to move into this direction in the film series?
Sure. I mean, I had a bit of an adverse vaccine reaction myself, to where I was had basically a breakdown of my entire body. I was throwing up, sweating for about 3 or 4 days. Felt like I had food poisoning, basically. And then the next one I got was a tetanus shot, and I had an allergic reaction to it. And it was like a sunburn that moved up and down my body. It took about 5 days, but it moved slowly down my legs. And it felt like a sunburn, although you couldn't see it. And then once it got to my feet, it started moving back up and went all the way up to the top of my head. And it scared the heck out of me because I thought it was going to be a brain, something, do something to my
aneurysm
mind.
Or something.
Yeah, so it was a very, very scary thing. I went to the doctor and they thought I was nuts. And of course, I've talked to other people who've had the same thing. But I started collecting research about 2.5 years ago. Because I kind of wanted to know myself before I got into any of this corporation stuff or really became active as I am. I started looking into it and just collecting other people's research, sorting through it and verifying whether it was, whether I could find it in U.S. code or find it in congressional record or find the patents. And, it kind of got out of hand and it became way more than just a search for what vaccines do and what they cause. It became more of an understanding of what vaccines actually are and the concept of vaccination, which from day one until about 3 or 4 months ago, I'd say, that I did not understand exactly what a vaccine really was, even with all the research. And then it just kind of, I just had an understanding of it after I saw what it could do to the systems of the body, how it can actually create antibodies for several different things, including reproduction, including stopping your body's own creation of chemicals that it needs. And so I learned real quick at the end there that vaccination has nothing to do with anything except creating antibodies. It doesn't mean you're cured of anything. In fact, it quite means the opposite. It means that your body is going to start fighting against all of the toxins that are within the vaccine, and we're talking billions and billions of microscopic particles that cannot be filtered out. So the whole purpose of this documentary became to actually give people an idea of how that works by going through several different patents for actual infertility. And what I really want to get across to people in this is that there's a huge and distinct difference between what we hear in the shock jock media as we're sold survival and gold products and storable food, and we're told that there's going to be all this horrible stuff and that depopulation, right? I want people to understand the difference between depopulation and something called fertility management or population control, because there's a humongous difference between the two. If we're talking about depopulation, we're talking about the actual purposeful killing of living human beings, okay? But if we're talking about population control or fertility control through vaccination, which I'm pretty sure I proved without a doubt that that's quite quite a realistic and thing that's been happening for quite some time. We're talking about the prevention of birth or the prevention of life before it ever exists. And so the two concepts need to be separated and tackled individually, because I don't doubt that there's efforts to depopulate the world through sickness, illness, and other types of things. But the real money, the real efforts are being made through population control, which is the forced vaccination of women in Africa. The abortion industry is also a very much a problem. If you got all the way to the end of the movie, you'll see that is a very true statement as well.
That's definitely a very heady issue for sure. Personally, there certainly is this kind of campaign of population control going on, and while they you have all these people who are your religious right who are all against abortion, it's very much seems to be the more it doesn't offset the actual abortion promotion that's going on, and it's very it's a very strong whatever it is.
Well, it's important to understand that the abortion industry, and I hate to ruin the ending of the movie, but basically the abortion industry was created specifically because we used to import our medical research fetuses, our aborted fetal material, for which we conduct massive scientific experiments. We grow our vaccine culture on what's called human diploid cells. We use these things. I mean, there's aborted fetal tissue in creams, cold creams. They use them for taste testers taste receptors in Coca-Cola, Kraft products, Nestle products. They use aborted fetal tissue to make, sucralose, I believe is what it is, the sugarless sweeteners. They use them to enhance the flavor. They use the cells of these aborted fetuses. And, we are in a situation now where we are reusing ourselves. In fact, I just saw an article that someone sent me that said instead of burying or burning bodies now, they are going to start and have been using in other countries a chemical formula that will dissolve the body in totem, in completion, and then put that body, it'll just go down the drain, essentially. It'll get reused. I mean, we're talking about the Soylent Green, in case anybody missed it. We're talking about the reuse of human tissue. We're talking about the growth of vaccine cultures and substrates on aborted fetal tissue. If you've had the MMR vaccine, the polio vaccine, I mean, you're talking about having human fetus material injected into your body. And that's sort of the big reveal at the end of the movie, and it's important enough to talk about without keeping it a secret or having a surprise ending. But you know, basically,
right.
the abortion industry was started specifically because we were importing our babies from Stockholm, Sweden, and next thing you know, Roe versus Wade comes along. All of a sudden, there is an overabundance of fetal tissue that is available for purchase. Okay, so don't think that that's a coincidence, because we're talking about the Supreme Court, a corporate structure that's doing something to promote the business structure of America. So, you know.
Yeah, well, getting back to the population control for a second, there's a very, I think, progressive movement towards this, you know, the 2.5 kids thing that they had a while ago, and now these days, you know, it's pretty much just the way the economics has been set up, it basically takes two parents to raise a both parents working just to afford to raise a single child these days. And and then of course you have this whole this child support issue, which is, I know, is a huge topic in and of itself, but that to me seems like just another form of population control, where they just basically want to scare the hell out of the men from even engaging in the sexual activity. Because it's just there's absolutely no recourse or legal protection in that situation whatsoever, and basically it's destroyed the whole family structure, which is a whole nother issue here.
Well, and there's also there's a combined effort is what you're saying, and there's also the sterility campaign, where they're putting in, especially in England and European countries, they're advertising in magazines that sterilization is a good thing. They've got these really beautiful young women who say, "I'm sterilized and I've never been happier. And look at me, I can have sex and not worry about pregnancy. It's a wonderful feeling." That kind, So it's coming at you from all angles. If you've got morals and values and you're against this, something else is probably going to appeal to you. So. That there is a very much combined attack, and yeah, you could go very deep into that and consider where the attack's coming from, of course. But what's important is that it's basically coming from an international body through the United Nations, through United Nations treaties, and through agencies like the Population Council or the UN Population. That's a whole long word, but there's these panels of people who sit on population committees, talking about this all day. You have the Billionaires Club meeting with Oprah Winfrey and George Soros and Bill Gates and people you wouldn't expect, George Lucas, all getting together and pledging to give billions of dollars towards depopulation, the most important thing facing humanity, in their opinion. Of course, they would never give up their family, but heck, let's send some some infertility vaccines over to Africa and just destroy these people from ever being able to reproduce again. And I go through this very, very much in detail in the documentary. But one of the things that I don't think I really gave enough credence to, I'm going to read you let me just ask you a question here. What if I were to tell you, keeping in mind that we're talking about vaccinations here, what if I were to tell you, my friend, that I could give you a shot right now? I can bypass your body's natural defenses, and I can go in and I can add 10 years to your life. Okay, That's what I'm promising with my vaccine, okay? It's a life extension vaccine. Would you, as a normal person, that would probably, in your mind, say,
you,
well,
10
yeah,
years
that
ago, I would have said, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so so you say
I,
sure
I think
as
I
a
did,
normal person.
I a couple times.
but then I tell you, well, okay, that's great. And we've been studying this and doing clinical trials for a whole 5 years, and that's how we know that we're going to add 10 years to your life. Right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what the vaccine industry is telling us, because in truth, the vaccine industry, the vaccine for this year's influenza came out in July. But the flu season doesn't even start till October. So
Right. Can
you explain to me, if influenza is one of the most highly virulent and mutatable or changeable viruses out there, in other words, it mutates at the drop of a hat, how can you have a vaccine that takes 6 months to make and another 6 months to test? How can you have it ready in 2 months before the flu season even begins? Do you see
right.
a problem
and
here?
You're not even going to have the proper strain of flu.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. In fact, the seasonal influenza and the H1N1 that are now combined are the same strains as last year. So they didn't even bother changing it. It's people just don't pay attention. So, all right, so I'm going to give you this shot, and it's going to extend your life for 10 years. We have done 5 years of research that says that is true. Even though there's no way we can go to the end of your life and prove that you're going to live that extra 10 years, we just know. But the important part is, before you take the shot, we just need to let you know that we haven't tested this vaccine for a little thing called carcinogenesis, mutagenesis, and would you take that?
No. No,
because
carcinogenesis
is really not that big a deal. It just means that this vaccine, which might extend your life for 10 years, might give you cancer, because carcinogenesis basically means the growth of cancerous cells from normal cells, and mutagenesis just means that it might mutate those cells in a different way other than cancer, and the final one, which was just means that it might impair your fertility to ever have children again. Now, what I'm telling you is that basically we haven't tested this vaccine for those things, for the toxicology aspect of cancer, mutagenesis, and impairment of fertility. I just want to let you know that. And see, by me telling you that, I now fall under U.S. code protection, complete liability protection, and that means that you can't sue me. So if you develop a cancerous tumor, or you mutate into an ogre, or all of a sudden your sperm count goes down by 70%. Just to let you know, you can't sue us. So roll up your sleeve. We'll give you the shot now.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's free. Yeah. You can use Medicare to pay for it, and taxpayer dollars are going to pay for it, by the way, too. You still want it?
Yeah, and they're also, they're probably not even going to bother to mumble it underneath their breath. They're probably just going to hand you the piece of paper that came in the box with the shot afterwards that, reads like Japanese stereo instructions.
Absolutely, and they're tiny and very hard to read. And basically what they've done is they've included the H1N1 shot, for which I was just reading out of. This is the non-clinical toxicology aspect, and it's section 13.1 of the Novartis handout for their H1N1 vaccine. It says, neither flu virus nor influenza A H1N1 2009 monovalent vaccine have been evaluated for carcinogenic or mutagenic potential or for impairment of fertility, which actually puts them into the protection of U.S. code, and it means that you cannot do, you have no liability. So what I've also found is what's important about these kind of sentences that are in these inserts is that what that is disclosure. Because, again, you're getting yourself off the hook. You're saying that you haven't tested for it, so that if it causes it, there's no way we could have known because we listed in the insert in the warnings that it might cause cancer. Just to let you know, it might cause infertility. Well, guess what? When you are next time you're watching TV late at night or even in the mainstream times, pay close attention to the commercials that you see for such things as antidepressants or cholesterol-lowering drugs, all of those crazy, crazy commercials that you hear on TV, and they say, the side effects of this thing will be diarrhea, clotted blood, heart attack, stroke, on down the list all the way to death, right? And then towards the end of the commercial, you're always going to see something, and I've got a theory about this, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct here. The theory goes like this. It'll say, see our ad in health, meaning Health Magazine, or see our ad in Vanity Fair, and it'll only list one magazine, okay? Now you can go to that magazine, because they've disclosed this information, and you're like, well, I would never take that drug because it causes more side effects, I'd have to take three more drugs to battle the side effects. Well, now you can go, they've disclosed the fact that it's going to cause such horrific damage to your body and its systems. Now you can also go to their ad in Health Magazine and you can read the full disclosure, which for the most part everybody just passes up because it's just an ad in a magazine that's getting in the way of them looking at ads for makeup and dresses and everything else. And so basically what we've got is a full disclosure process, very similar to when you open up a newspaper, if anybody still does that, and you see a public notice. In other words, when the city, anytime the city has a is going to bid on land or sell land or buy land, it has to put a public notice in the back of the newspapers that says that they're going to have the hearing or the committee that talks about that, so that the people have a chance to rebut or promote. And so basically all we've got here, in case you were wondering why anybody would buy these drugs that you hear about on TV, or why your doctor would recommend them, well, guess what? That doctor's getting massive kickbacks, $25 per influenza shot. The state's getting $50 per influenza shot. The county is getting a certain amount for each influenza shot, and the hospital's getting a certain amount for each influenza shot that they give. Okay, multiply that by millions of people. You've got massive amounts of money coming from government, meaning your taxpayer money, to promote a completely poisonous, carcinogenic, mutagenic, and fertility impairing product. Okay, this is why you have these massive pushes for flu vaccines and for flu, for other drugs like this. Because it's disclosed, because they've went through the process of making these ridiculous commercials that show a little bouncing purple ball that says this could be you, a happy purple ball, if you take our drug, right. They've disclosed all this information. They said, see the full disclosure in Health Magazine. You're not going to go there and look at it, just like most people aren't going to go to the back of a newspaper or even care that the city's going to buy land, this corporate structure is going to eminent domain and take that land and sell it to a healthcare company, No one cares, and that's the big problem. No one's paying attention to why these companies are doing this, and certainly no one's reading the flu insert. They're just lining up and getting a shot. It's
right.
Free.
Well, I think a great big part of that is because there's just so much, that's going on. It's so hard to pick and choose your battles of what you're supposed to be paying attention to, because if you really were paying attention to everything, that's all you would be doing, all the time is
you got that right.
Public notices,
that's what I'm here for.
Right?
I'm here to ruin everything.
Hey, Clint, we're gonna take a quick 5-minute break, and we'll be right back. All right.
Sounds good, man.
All right. That was Clint Richardson. We're going to be right back with him. We were talking about his latest film, Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination, which is available at thecorporationnation.com. And we'll be right back.
Shot.fm and Defiant for You Media. Broadcasting every Thursday night, 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 p.m. on the West. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is area code 724-444-7444. And the call ID number is 95724-POUND. And then just press 1 pound to log in as a guest PIN number. I, Libertarian, we're listening to you.
Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book, and guess how long it took? I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome, no metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive in such a small world. I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run the business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, because I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone. With a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule. Of a molecule. Of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, so let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from laceration, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope.
All right, folks, we are back. You're listening to iLibertarian, and our guest for this evening is Clint Richardson from the CorporationNation.com, and We Are Change Utah, talking about his latest film in the series, number 3, Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination. Hello, Clint, you there?
Yes, sir. Excellent choice of tunage, I must say.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew we were going to be talking about this kind of stuff tonight, so I was like, oh, I got to go grab that song. And
well,
you know.
Yeah, man, go listen to that again, and then go watch that last little half hour of this movie and listen very carefully to the laws, to the U.S. code that is listed there, and you'll see that everything that guy's, you know, rapping about right there, is all exactly, it's perfectly legal. And when he says I can do this and I can do that, you're going to find out that U.S. code says absolutely they can do all of this, and they are completely exempt from any recourse. And it's amazing,
right? They have no need to be held accountable, and yes, it's about time we started holding these people accountable. So yeah, I was, we got TRA, Wicket, who's going to join us here in just a second. I was going to mention that, as I drove past the sign telling me to get, the billboard telling me to get a vaccination, I went into, CVS to pick up my cigarettes. And, as I walk in the door, there's a little sign there on a table that says, did you forget to get your flu vaccination? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even know that was on my list of things to do today.
Exactly. I've got a clip that I'm going to put in, you know, I'm going to release a part two here in hopefully at the end of November, maybe not till December, but you know, all the stuff I couldn't fit into this one, I'm going to put into that one. And I've got a clip of this Health and Human Services Secretary, this Kathleen Sebelius, telling you, like, right there in front of, you know, everybody, how they promote it. And it's amazing. They, not only through schools, they say, you know, we want schools to be the re-up, the or probably the best chance of getting the uptake rate or the vaccination rate out there, but we have contests on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and we have it's incredible. She goes through churches, through every media site, through ESPN is in a campaign with us, and I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling me that you're paying ESPN with taxpayer money for ESPN to run commercials that you make with taxpayer money, to get vaccines that you're going to pay with taxpayer money? I mean, it's just it's such a vicious cycle. You know, it's such a
it's
horrible.
They've got their finger in every pot. I mean, I work in video games, and so I get all these video game magazines, and they're chock full of ads for the Army, you know, and the Marines.
Yeah.
they talk about the budget problems, and yet they're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on advertising why we should need to go out and kill people. Anyway, I want to get to TRA Wicket, who's been wanting to talk to you since before we started the show here. TRA Wicket, how are you doing this evening?
Hi.
Am I saying that right?
Yep, Trowicki.
Oh, yeah. Trowicki, okay.
What's going on, man?
Thank you for letting me talk. I guess what I want to talk about is, again, Occupy Wall Street. I think, like you said, I think the intentions are good, but I think that there's a different agenda with the whole movement. I'm a very big historian, and I noticed a lot of things that are repeating themselves. I guess maybe, first of all, what's your thought on that?
Well, I think that any time that the people need a revolution, the government is there to prop up a false one, basically.
Okay.
And you know, if you look at what's been happening, someone brought this up tonight I hadn't thought about, and that was that, you know, it started in the Middle East, it moved to France, it then went to England, and now it's happening in America, really?
Right.
So are we to believe that, you know, there's not some divine hand
that's
leading us?
For instance, right before Occupy Wall Street began, there was a whole big news, everything, it was on the news about how Obama wanted to take it to, you know, the rich, tax the rich. It was like a week before.
The most upsetting thing about that is that he has no intention of taxing the rich. The rich will never get taxed. He wants to tax the upper middle class, which is not even the upper middle class anymore. It's the middle class at this point.
Let's define redistribution of wealth before we go any further here, because we're all taught that redistribution of wealth is always a bad thing. We're absolutely against it. It's a horrible, horrible socialist concept. But in reality, the true meaning of redistribution of wealth is exactly what we've got. We've got a system of taxation that takes all of our money. We've got a system of false inflation, which takes even more of our money, and then we've got all the other taxes that we have to pay. And basically, you've got a very rich elite and a government who's redistributing the wealth through taxation. So we live in that system, and so there's no. I mean, I'm not going to feel sorry if a rich person has to pay more taxes, because in my understanding of life and of the world, There's two things that have to happen if you're wealthy, okay? And those two things are that at least two other people have to be very poor, okay? Period. That's how it works. You cannot have wealth without absolute squalor, just like you cannot have light without dark, good without evil. You have to have something to compare it to. If there was no such thing as wealth, there would also be no such thing as poverty, you see.
Right.
So.
Well, I guess, like I said, I'm for the movement. I don't know. Like, for example, there's a friend that I've been talking to. She lives in Florida, and she believes what I believe, that there's a different agenda with this whole Occupy thing. So what she wants to do is start with her town first. You know what I mean? And work her way up. And the way she wants to do it is like start growing her own food for her city or her town. And then, you know, trying to make her town more independent.
Yeah, you know, the whole concept of acting locally to change things globally, it's a very noble and altruistic cause. But I've been a big promoter of being free man on the land, of the straw man theory and argument, the, you know, rights versus privileges, all of that stuff. But I also have come around to also realize that part of the responsibility of being free is not the complete ignorance of the structure that you're trying to be free from. Because if you ignore government, you know, you start acting locally and not paying attention to the federal government, which claims ownership of any land that you may think is yours, period. That the federal government owns everything according to it. See, you have to keep paying attention and keep working to destroy that structure that claims ownership of everything that you think is yours as a free and natural person, or as someone who, like you said, wants to change their local environment. Now, I have this theory that I'm working on, possibly, I'm not going to go any into who I'm working on it with, but that a city or a group of cities within a county would actually be able to break away from that county and from the state and create, or at least from the county, and create its own county and become a common law county, elect a new sheriff that enforces that common law, and will also ensure that no federal law can break through. That very well may be the next logical step, is instead of trying to secede a whole state, instead secede a city or two and get the people to vote on that, not the representatives, because they don't represent anything. You have to have a vote of the people to do that. And if people don't like it, they can move out. The people that do like it can move in. And I actually think that might very well be a necessary next step to actually creating a common law or a free man, you know, on the land type of thing.
Yeah, they're actually trying to do something very similar in New Hampshire right now. It's called the Free State Project. Oh, so
is that Free Keen?
I would check that out if you haven't had the chance yet.
Yeah, I mean, and of course the states are literally basically federal, you know, prefectures. They're federal districts within other federal districts within other federal districts, and you know, it just goes on and on and on. But that doesn't mean that I don't encourage what you're saying. Absolutely. Just don't ever get to the point where you're ignoring the problem. You know, that becomes more of a problem.
Right. I mean, it was a whole big thing. She forget what it was. It's a food law where you can't. Florida was trying to pass a law where you can't sell your own food.
Yeah, that's coming down from United Nations and Codex Alimentarius. It's a United Nations and Agenda 21 program where, you know, the very term organic is going to be outlawed, and you know, it's a big long processes that's been going on for you. What you need to know, what you really need to do, is you need to go and you need to ask your, you need to find out which treaties and which contracts that your local and county and state government are in with the United Nations, and specifically with under Agenda 21, because what you'll find is that your government is actually happening through the United Nations, because your representatives, the people you vote to represent it, represent your opinion and your needs and your wants, are signing over all of those needs and wants to the United Nations through Agenda 21.
Yeah, sure. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so to make things clear, I mean, where do we start? Do we start at our senator and our governor, or how do we go upon actually making a change?
I can only give you my personal view on that, and I say no, absolutely not. The last thing you should do is try to contact your senator or your congressman, because they are not your representative. They are only your representative in as much as you give up your rights when you elect them. You see, because when the government wants to conduct spraying of chemtrails or spraying of chemical biological weapons or agents as written in U.S. code, it doesn't go to the people and say, can I have your consent? 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 No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't get each individual person to consent. What it does is it goes to the governor of the state, who the people elected as their representative, and it goes to the senators and congressmen of that state, the top ones, and it gets permission from those folks, because you see, they're your representatives. They are giving your consent to be sprayed by these chemtrails under U.S. code, and it basically states that in U.S. code. Again, towards the end of this last documentary, I I spent a lot of time on law. The other thing you need to know is how government defines you as a man. Okay, and for that you go to title, and this is something that everybody should write down and go look at immediately, okay, because it's very important. Go to Title VII. Again, the Cornell University Law School website is the best. Title VII, Chapter 6, and then Subchapter 2 is called Environmental Pesticide Control. And if you go to Subsection 136, you come to a section called Definitions, where basically, instead of reading it, it goes on to define what what an animal is, and that's an invertebrate non-invertebrate species, including but not limited to man and other animals. It defines the word animal as a man, and then it defines the word pest as an animal, which simply stated, the government considers you a man, not a person. You are an animal, as defined in U.S. code, and this is under the pesticide section. So if there's enough people like yourself and like me and all these free people who are rescinding their citizenship from the United States and they're no longer a person, they're strictly a man or an animal or, in this case, a pest, well, guess what? If you're not paying attention, like I said, if you just ignore the fact that this government still claims ownership of your property and the land and that you're calling yourself a free man on, it's going to consider you a pest. And if enough people in Free Keene or Free New Hampshire become a problem and start infecting the rest of the nation with truth and freedom, they're going to become what is defined in Chapter 6 of Title 7 as a pest. Okay? And under this section, the government has exemption from any law, and it can eradicate these pests, pests being an animal and an animal being a man. Okay? It has complete immunity from its own laws with regards to killing humans or testing or using pesticides or biological agents delivered in any way through U.S. code. And that's what I'm trying to get people to really grasp here, is that this is not a government that is your representative. It is a government that is your enemy. It is defining you as a pest, an animal, something like a cattle that it wants to control through population and fertility control, but also will, if you get out of hand, terminate your existence as a pest. It defines you as a pest. Very important, because it's the basis of everything that government does, because you're human livestock. You're human. That's what human management or human resources means. You're a resource to be managed, basically. And if you get out of hand, you're then a pest. It's very important to get this.
Sounds like something that Cass Sunstein wrote.
If you really want to compare it to something, you can compare a lot of this law to the Talmud. I mean, to Zionism, basically, to the racism that goes on in Judaism, in Talmudic Judaism, that is, the superiority of a certain people over the rest of the races, basically. It's written very, very similarly to Talmudic law, to Talmudic writings. So.
All right, cool. I think that's it. And what's that, your documentary websites and stuff?
I have it posted at thecorporationnation.com. It's on YouTube for free as well. It's just linked there, and it's Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination.
Yeah, here, I'll throw the link into the chat room for you.
All right, cool. Thank you.
There's the link to the movie, and and then he's got a link to the... Oh, no, you don't have a link to the website on your... Should add a link to your website on your video.
You're absolutely right. I should.
but yeah, you can get his whole channel there, the Corporation Nation on YouTube, and it has all of his movies as well. But yeah, thecorporationnation.com. It's for the real heady info that's not in the films, but most of it's in the films, especially the second one, which is all right, I'm gonna let you go, TR Trewicket. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
your second movie there was that was a tough one. I have to admit. I had trouble getting through it without taking breaks.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I
that
said,
was,
that
was like a semester's worth of school right there.
Well, and that's the idea, you know, because there's no way to go over this stuff in a Hollywood, you know, dumbed down version, and it's. I apologize for that, but it's just, you know, I kept saying I'm going to make a shorter version of it, but it's meant to be a something like a primary research vessel that people can go to and get a complete understanding of that whole system. So yeah, I mean, I need to take some of the parts out, especially the part about the banks and the water and stuff, and just make a shorter version. Absolutely.
Well, I kind of saw the first movie as like a shorter version of the second movie. But you know what I did is I just watched it in parts. I'd watch it for, you know, 25 to 40 minutes, and then I'd stop and, you know, go play some video games and then come back to it.
Well, I'll tell you, man, one of the most difficult things to do is to self-edit, because by the time I finished this vaccine documentary, I had almost four and a half hours of footage that I had to cut down to 2.5, and it's still probably too long, but, you know, it's so hard to not, you know, because I've got so much more important information that I didn't get to include, and I have to make a part two, and it's very difficult to cut it down and not include, you know, all this stuff. And I don't know, maybe it's a product default of my brain, but I feel like I have to put all this in there for a complete and total understanding, you know, a complete
presentation.
Well, that's
one of the things I liked about your new film, is because, you know, you'd hit this information, and then you'd kind of have, it would, you know, you'd have this kind of break from it where you'd still be giving information, but it would be like, you know, it would be a little softer and a little more toned down, and you know, you change up the graphic styles and stuff, and you know, which I think definitely you know, helps the pacing.
Well, I was certainly gearing this towards a more broad audience as well, because, you know, I know the masses aren't going to watch my other two movies, and I didn't plan on them. You know, this was to help. Mostly, those two movies were to help Walter get his message across, because Walter's really good at talking to stockbrokers and accountants and Wall Street executives, but he doesn't have the gift of putting it into layman terms for people who almost grasp it but can't quite grasp it. And it took me a long time to grasp it, and I guess I can just, you know, translate things into human speak so that, you know, most people can understand it. So far I've only got one negative comment, and that was sounded like just someone that was so indoctrinated that they couldn't believe it. So
are you talking about the new movie here?
Yeah, the new movie. I got a guy from Japan, from the university at Osaka, tell me he's passing it around to all his faculty. So I've gotten really good response, and it's gone pretty darn viral, I gotta say. It was a featured video on Rents there for a little while, and people are reposting it, which is what I want. I want people to download it, and I still haven't put a download link on there, but I want people to download it and repost it all over the place, because, you know, I immediately put it in public domain, because I'm not looking for profit or anything. I just want this to get out, because I can't stand the concept that we're living in this world that allows this, and we're just all ignoring it and just going on with our existence, and our existence just happens to be based on all of this horrific stuff that we're letting happen. You know, I just can't stand it anymore. So
right, yeah, no,
public domain, no permission needed to reproduce, reprint, handout, whatever.
Yeah. No, you're kind of lucky, because, you know, with this documentary, you're pretty much, you know, using all your own graphics and sound and stuff. I don't know if I told you, but I did a documentary on September 11th, and it's, you know, I just put out the second version of it, which, you know, of course, like you were saying, editing yourself is very hard, but, you know, looking at it a year later and redoing it, I was able to make it into a much nicer documentary. But I wasn't able, I'm still not able to put it onto YouTube, though, because I use all this, you know, footage of all these things that happened on September 11th. And there's one clip on there in this, like, 2.5 hour long movie. It's like, you know, it's like it's probably like a 1 minute clip somewhere, and it's owned by some media corporation in England, and so I have no idea what it is, what clip it is, because I'd gladly take it out if I knew, but like I have no idea how to find out what clip it was. You know, I tried contacting the company in England, say like, hey, what clip is it? Tell me, I'll take it out or give me permission or something, and like nothing. And so like I can't even put the movie up on YouTube, which is a real shame.
Wait, even if you're saying that it's used for educational,
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, it's the first thing that pops up on the screen.
I gotta be honest, man. I've been censored in a big way. My hit counter should be up in the tens of thousands, because I was just simply because I was on Rent as a featured video. You know, I always get about 15,000 hits just on my blog if I go on that, just his, you know, regular. But he featured this video, and you know, I'm getting subscribed, but you know, I'm getting, my hit counter is getting censored in a big, big way. I have people that say they've searched for the Great Pension Fund hoax for months and couldn't find it, and they only found it because of this vaccine documentary got sent to them, and then they could link to it and find the other movies. They said they can't even find them on YouTube, right? So I don't know why my movies aren't getting taken down, to be honest, because, you know, I'm using just whatever I find as far as pictures, and not necessarily giving credit, just saying thank you for people who post this. I mean, and this is just public domain. I'm not claiming ownership of it, you know, all that. And so far, so good. So I'm not sure what the deal is. I mean, the other one, I used a Teletubbies video, you know, so why didn't they get taken down? I don't understand. Why can I now upload 3.5 hour, 4 hour videos? I don't know, but I'm certainly, certainly happy I can.
Right. No, definitely. The new movie's great. I love it. It's awesome. You know, I certainly, I would say I'm a bigger fan of the subject matter of the first two movies, but the third movie, I it was very informative. I would say it's the best vaccination movie I've seen. Although I haven't seen a lot of them, but it's certainly the best one I've seen so far. And it really is. It's a great film. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you put it out there. I recommend everybody watch it. I put it up on, you know, I put it up on my Facebook page. I'll probably put it up on the iLibertarian .tk website here in a little bit, just so people can grab it from there. So where do you think you're going next in this film series? Because you know, originally I thought it was just one film, but now it seems you're developing a film series here. So.
Well, I've got, like I said, I've got all this information, and thanks for the kudos there, by the way. I'm hoping that you know, I list my other, talk about my other films and put my website, so I'm hoping that'll draw people to the other films as well. But I am putting out a part two as soon as I can, hopefully at the end of November, with all the stuff that I've already, you know, basically created, much of it on the screen.
Yeah, a part two of the vaccination story?
Yep. And okay, that should be another 2 hour movie, because there's so much information, and a lot of it I'm not going to put out there, because, you know, I've got research from Truot, who I interviewed in there. His research now is on things that most people would never believe, and I'm probably going to have to not put it in there, because it's so far, it's so out of a film noir type of setting. I mean, he's done this extensive research on these four viruses that they created. I mean, when they dug up the 1918 Spanish flu, what was actually a paratyphus fever virus, but they called it the Spanish flu. They dug it up from the Eskimos up there in Alaska, the CDC did, and the Institute, the Army's Institute of Pathology, and they dig it up and they recreate it. They put it through their genomic computer structure, and it takes 10 years, and they reconstruct the 1918 virus, and next thing you know, there's the bird flu and then the swine flu, which are basically the same things, because there's swine flu and bird flu, you know, connected to the two, and which can't happen in nature. Essentially, you have to have that direct either re-engineering or direct bodily contact to have that mixture happen. But so what he's researched and actually talked to the scientists apparently who are familiar with and helped on the project are these, believe it or not, they call them zombie 1 or Z1 through Z4 or Z5. I think it's 4. It's 4 specific viruses that cause each one causes a different level of what you might call a rage, like rabies, basically. Rabies from bats, actually. And what they do is they recreate these viruses in labs and create different versions of them, just like they created about 5 different versions of the 1918 virus and released one of them. Who knows if they're going to release the other ones. If they do, they've got all the patents for the flu all set, so they have the patents for the vaccines already. But, you know, I can't go and I can't say, well, guess what? There's also a zombie virus that they've created.
Right,
because
right.
People are going to be like, oh, this is a hoax, da-da-da-da-da, you know. So I have to be a little careful about what I do include in there. But trust me when I say, if you guys want to check out True Otsot, he's one of the best researchers and most intelligent men I know and probably will ever know, and that's atrueot.com, atrueott.com. And he actually lives not too far from me, and we're in contact quite a bit, and I got to interview him after the 2009 flu outbreak. But, you know, I'm going to put that out, and my next film after that, I've already got the slides ready, is basically about the Federal Reserve. I'm going to read right from the CAFR what the heck the Federal Reserve is, right from the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Might include some stuff about Social Security in that, and then after that, I've got a couple concepts for different films. I'm just going to keep going and making, you know, the subjects that I'm well versed in, and keep on the research and keep on doing what I'm doing. Basically, you know, I started this vaccine film with a whole other set of slides and information, and just over the last 3 or 4 months, it completely changed into what it was now, which included U.S. code and all the sterilization stuff. Because that's what, you know, when you go into the primary research and you start learning this stuff, I mean, heck, gosh, here's something I want to tell you about. Because we've all heard of these things, and this is something that's very important, is I've got this patent for nanotechnology. So they put these nanobots in the vaccines, and they nanobots act as carriers. They're about 1/10 the size of human hair, and they go through your body, and they carry the vaccine ingredients, whatever that ingredient is, to certain parts of the body. They're actually designed, these little machines, to carry whatever's in the vaccine to the body. And I've got the patent, so I'm reading directly from the patent. And they design these little nanobots to be either leaky and time release, so they'll release little parts of what they have in them, you know, over time, or they design them to just sit there attached to some part of the body, and then they can be activated at a later stage where through UV light or through some other chemical or biological reaction, sound waves, whatever. And again, right out of the patent, and it's very, very frightening to read some of this stuff. They're also using the flu virus is a very mutatable and very useful virus that they use to transport other vaccine ingredients. So in other words, you can grow and piggyback other diseases on the flu virus very, very easily. It's a very useful tool in growing other weaponized viruses and diseases, biological agents, basically, on top of the flu. So I believe that that's why there's such a push to get people to be used to taking this flu vaccine, because they, anytime they want to introduce something, either through nanotechnology, which they can activate later, or, you know, through this piggyback system, you know, it's just amazing how many people line up for these shots. It really is.
You know, the more I research into this stuff, and the more I'm finding out, and the every day there's, you know, some kind of new disaster or something out there to kill you, and I think probably soon after September 11th, you know, I had this fear of an Orwellian society. But it seems to me now that I've been, you know, finding out all this stuff, that it's well beyond this kind of Orwellian nightmare. And it seems almost as if somebody out there is trying to engineer the apocalypse. Does that seem that way to you, too, or am I just
I wonder about that, because, like I said, there's a big difference between depopulation and population control. I actually find the Brave New World concept, where everybody is drugged, and so you know if you go out and you start looking around, you'll see. Highly recommend, by the way, the movie or the book of Brave New World, because I think it's much more accurate as to what's actually happening already and what's going to happen. And you'll find that there's certain personality types: alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Alphas being the top, or at least they think they're the top, the betas being the secondary, and then the gammas behind the fast food counters. You know, you can actually recognize the personality types out of Brave New World, and you can recognize the what they call Soma, which is the drug that everybody takes, you know, the basically antidepressants, makes everybody happy, while the alphas are in control, or think they're in control, and then there's the whole elite, you know, set. So I think the Brave New World model is a very, very realistic thing, and you used to be able to watch Brave New World for free on Google Image or Google Video, and I'm not sure if it's still up there, but I'd highly recommend, it's a long movie, but it's worth watching, because you can actually compare society now to the society that's portrayed in that really old movie. It's also fun to see what they thought the future would look like, you know. But, you know, I believe that there's a very purposeful effort to keep people sick, because sickness is very, very profitable. You're never going to find a cure for the major diseases, the cancers, all these diseases, because it's just too profitable. And what I think is that, besides keeping people ill and controlling their fertilization, I think there's also the Soma aspect, which is the dumbing down, the chemical lobotomy, basically, that's within these vaccines as well. And this is why there's such a push for getting children, because they're in the developmental stage. And trust me, there's a slide in there, a little movie about, you know, mercury affecting brain cell growth or brain stem growth.
Right. That's something that really piques my interest about this, because I started having problems coping with life probably about 2 years ago, and just kind of like all of a sudden I just like was really having a hard time just dealing with everything going on and all this stuff and I thought it was a mental breakdown, but it was more to it than that. And as I started doing more research into it, I basically what I discovered is that I have a high level autism, Asperger's syndrome, ADD. And I just had no idea that I had it. Because it was just such a high level, I just, I was always able to cope with it, but I just, got to a point in my life where life got so stressful that all of a sudden, because of this, it was making it impossible for me to be able to deal with things. And then, as I started researching it more, when I was like just around 2 years old, I find out that I had like complete digestive failure, which probably caused brain swelling, what caused
Yeah.
my Asperger's syndrome. And
I'll
I'm
bet you
almost
got a full pack of vaccinations as kids too.
I bet you I did, and that's something that I discovered about probably about I don't know, probably about 8 months ago. And I was like calling my mom up. I'm like, "Hey, did I before I got sick, did I get vaccinated?" She's like, "I don't know, probably." I'm like,
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
"Okay."
I'm gonna post a video tonight. I just wanted to let you know. I just made a video on some more kefir stuff. I kind of took a break from the vaccine stuff and made a video on something called Cummingland funds, which is basically the mutual funds that each state has, because I haven't really covered that. It's about a 50-minute video of me just ranting, and then I put some slides in there to of the actual funds. So I just wanted to tell you that, and I'm gonna upload that tonight for people to check out on the Corporation Nation website. It's kind of informative. I was a little crazy, kind of a little angry. This whole vaccine thing has made me a different person. I'll say that. I'm mad. I mean, I'm angry at what I see, and I'm angry at the apathy that I see, and I think it's very important that you recognize what you just said, that you're experiencing something that's probably very much related to that. And again, the apathy that people have towards this, and the thought that, oh, well, even if you have thousands of people warning you against vaccines, and you're still going to give them to your children, despite what you if you're basing everything on belief, then you've got a real problem. You might have a little ADD yourself if everything that you do is based on your belief and not fact, then there's a problem,
Well, I mean that might be part of what's going on with our society too, is we just we're all a little bit autistic at this point, because I mean we've all had vaccinations as children, and I think what would you say, maybe 90% of the United States citizens have gone through this vaccination process at this point.
Well, I heard in 2009 that they said it was over 100 million Americans. Now, I'm sure that it's gone up since then because they've really been pushing it. So, but I've also heard quotes from other people that say 65% of Americans are not getting vaccines because especially the H1N1, So, I really don't know. What's important to them is that those vaccines are getting paid for by your money. It's very profitable. Whether they get wasted or not, they're still getting paid for,
Well, I think that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up before we sign off here?
Yeah, you know, I cover some pretty deep things in this movie, and I would just recommend sitting through the full thing, and I think that you'll understand at the point where you finish it, you'll understand why you must watch it, because it will change your whole perspective, not only on what vaccination is, but the industries that have built up around it, and the fact that they're causing all of these different diseases, Gofore syndrome, cancers, autism, and everything else. And I'd like to think I prove this pretty succinctly in the thing, but like I said, it's a full package, and towards the end, when you start getting into these laws and U.S. codes, and you find out that the abortion industry is very much revolved around this, I think it's important for people to grasp that. So please watch the movie, pass it on, burn it, make copies, pass it out, stand in front of health clinics and CVS, Walgreens, and pass them out. I don't know. I just hope that I can actually make some kind of change, and save a few lives, I guess. Maybe save a few kids from getting cancer, since the cancer rate's now 1 in 2 or 3 children.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot. Well, thank you very much for coming on here, Clint. It's always a pleasure,
Yes,
and
sir. Thank you.
we'll look forward to the next film.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot, and take care, folks.
Yep, have a
Don't
good
get
one.
vaccinated.
All right.
Take
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Clint Richardson. He runs a website, thecorporationnation.com. His latest film is Lethal Injection: The Story of Vaccination. I recommend everybody go and check it out. This has been I Libertarian for October 6, 2011. I'm the King for Mayor. You can always find out more and watch past episodes at ilibertarian.tk, as in the King, or if you want the long website, it's ilibertarian.thekingformayor.com. Thank you very much for listening, and as usual, I will send you guys off with a little bit of music.
Und werde unverfehlt. please.
The views and opinions expressed on iLibertarian are not necessarily the views of the Talk Show Radio Network. Livefree.fm, Defiant for You Media, Checking for Mayor, iLibertarian, or their sponsors. This show is not endorsed by the Libertarian Political Party.